Good evening, everybody. It's good to have you here this evening. I was just sitting there singing songs of praise, and I can't help but echo the words of Sammy. It is a great joy to come together, people from different walks of life all over the globe of South Africa, and we get to come together and worship this great God. If it wasn't for what he did for us on the cross, if it wasn't for his resurrection, all this would be in vain. But praise God, he is risen. Praise God that he saved our souls. This evening, I also just want to take some time to thank God for the freedom we have in South Africa. There are countries where they're not as free as we are to worship God. There are countries where people are worshiping God in basements. People are worshiping God in alleyways because the government is heavily against Christianity. And we have this great opportunity to worship God freely. So let's take full advantage of it. Let's enjoy each other. Let's enjoy fellowship one with another as Christ would expect of us. So tonight we find ourselves in Psalm 19, Psalm 19. And the question I'm looking to pose this evening is God's word still sweet to you? I was lying in bed one evening and it came to my head and I couldn't help but ask myself the question, is God's word still sweet to me? Now, as I was preparing, I remembered some time back in primary school, going into my youth group days. And what I specifically remember about those days is that we loved writing letters. So I'm not that old, but I remember in my time, cell phones are not that common. So the way we communicated with people we adored, we wrote letters. So I remember February 14, all the gents would get together and the ladies will get together and all we're talking about is, do you think you're going to get a letter? Are you going to get that letter that has that proposal in it that says, will you be my Valentine? And you can imagine those who didn't get it. But there are letters that even got sweeter. I remember, again, towards the end of my primary school days, the dating game was so thoughtful. As jitas, we didn't get together and show each other, man, look at my girlfriend, and look at those selfies, bro. What we got together is we showed off how many letters we received from the girls we loved or the girls we dated. So although we had mixed to chat, we would still write letters to share those things that were close to our hearts, the things we were concerned about, and the things that we loved about our partners. In fact, this is not in my notes, but I also received a letter from my beloved wife as well. So I have sweet letters stored somewhere that are still dear to me. I just thought I'd add that in there, all right? Right now, back then, this is what the letters looked like. They were carefully folded. They were creatively folded. So it wasn't just a 1, 2, 3. No. Like corners, they were carefully folded. They screamed color. So what the girls would do is, you know, when you sharpen your pencil, then there's all those things. They'll sprinkle that on the paper and then you'd have like a world of color. It gets better. They sprayed the paper. And as you received this letter, it came with the scent of your beloved. Probably from Fushini. The handwriting used on the letter was careful and delicate. That even if it was a doctor, in that letter she wrote like a teacher. On top of the letters, what you'd have is you'd have the date. And then you'd have the mood. So as a guy, you already see, she wrote this letter happy. Okay, it's a good letter. She wrote this letter angry. She wrote this letter in love. There was a reason for the letter on the top block, and then there was the recipient. What I really enjoyed about these letters was it didn't matter what was inside. I just value the fact that I'm getting a letter from someone whom I loved, someone who was dear to me, someone whom I trusted. So as I read it, I would pay careful attention to every word that's written inside it so that I could respond accordingly. So as I thought about this, I wondered, when I think about God's word, when I think about that which God has prepared for me, is God's word still sweet to me? Are the words of God, the loving God, the Creator, are they still dear to my heart? Am I still eager to read all that He has carefully included in it for His glory and for our good? So let's see what the psalmist says in Psalm 19. And we'll start our reading from verse 7 and pause at verse 11. It reads, "For the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Let's pray together. Lord God, even as I preach this message this evening, I recognize that I do not know everything in your word. Lord, I am a weak vessel. Lord, my mind is finite. I am but a vessel in the hand of the Creator. But God, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your inspired, authoritative, alive word. I pray, God, as we unpack this passage this evening, that, Lord, you would open up the minds of our hearts, Lord, that we would be challenged to ask ourselves the question, are we still in love with the author, and are we still in love with his writings? I pray, Lord, this evening, if there's anything that is clouding our judgment, Lord, if there's any distraction, be it sin, be it something that's heavy on our shoulders, be it a burden, my God, I plead with you this evening that you'd remove it. I pray, Lord, that you clear our minds and help us to ask ourselves the question, Lord, what have you prepared for me tonight that I might leave and apply to my life? So I pray, Lord, even as I speak, help me to be clear, help me, Lord, to be bold. And Lord, where there is error, I pray, Lord, by your Spirit that you correct it. Help me, Lord, not even to say it. Help me to say all things that you would have your people receive this evening, and may they be challenged by your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm going to do for the next 2 weeks is, it's one long sermon. So I could have stood here and preached it for an hour, but we wouldn't have people back next week. So I decided I'll cut it into half, and we'll have two of the same sermon in two different days. So tonight we're going to be looking at the author of the scriptures, and next week we're going to be looking at the application of the scriptures. So tonight as we look, we'll be considering verses 7, 8, 9, and we'll find our application from verse 10. And then next week we'll look at verses 7, 8, 9, and we'll find our application from verse 11. So the first thing I want us to notice tonight is the author of the scriptures. If you consider in those verses, it says the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, that commandment of the Lord. I was hoping you guys would get on board by now. The fear. Thank you. The rules. Thank you. Oh, this train is moving slow. All right. So already we can notice something that the psalmist here is connecting the law. He's connecting the scriptures to an author. And the author here is the excellent lawmaker. As you consider the scriptures have the authority because of the excellencies of the lawmaker, God himself. Six times there we read Lord, and you'll notice that Lord there is in all caps. And it is that sacred name of God, that name Yahweh, Jehovah, the most excellent creator God, the ruler of heaven and earth, the God who is sovereign. The God who's all-knowing, he has revealed himself to men. If you read the first six verses when you go home tonight, verses 1 to verse 6, you will realize that in the first six verses, the psalmist writes about how God has revealed himself to man through creation. So when man looks out and beholds the beautiful stars, as we behold the beauty of creation, we are to see God. What the psalmist is saying here is that, like the heavens, like the galaxies and stars, like the planets, Like the beautiful Grand Canyon, like Mount Everest, like the beautiful Table Mountain, like man and like woman, like every living thing, the scriptures also declare the glory of God. Like the heavens, the scriptures declare the handiwork of God. I have a few verses up there from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Oh, man. You just have to follow with me, unless you have really good eyes. Isaiah 40, verse 22, it says, "It is He, Jehovah, that sits upon the circle of the earth. The residents, you and I, thereof are as grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to live in." Isaiah 42, verse 5, "God the Lord has said, He that created the heavens, stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, He gives breath to the people in it, the spirit to them that walk within it." Isaiah 44, verse 24, "The Lord has said, Your Redeemer and He that formed you from the womb, I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spread abroad the earth by myself." Isaiah 45 and verse 12, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded." The last one, Isaiah 48 verse 13, "My hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand together." This is the God who wrote scripture to us. The God who stretched the heavens. The God who can hold the galaxies in the span of His hand. You see, the Creator's work is awesome. We should be awestruck by it. If you talk to scientists, they will talk about the complexities of creation. And if we as Christians with the biblical worldview look at creation, we see in the bottom right corner, like on a Picasso painting, the signature of Yahweh. And yet mankind sees this creation and still reject God. You see, they recognize the works, they recognize His hand in creation, they recognize the splendor of creation, but they deny that it was Him. You see, what we learn from those first verses is that we cannot say that God has not revealed Himself to us. What we have done instead is we have taken the images of creation and we have created for ourselves gods out of them. We have taken the created thing and assumed it a position of deity. Famous passage, "For although they knew God," Romans 1, "they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they were futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, but they became fools." Why? Because they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, birds, and animals, and creeping things. That's the sad reality. God reveals Himself to us through creation. And we say, "God, we would rather worship this that You have created so beautifully rather than worship You." A commentator goes on to say that the scriptures are just as expensive as the heavens. No man has yet compassed all truth of divine revelation. As we look up to the great doctrines of the tower above us, like the high mountains, we may well say they are high. We cannot attain them. The length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the height of Scripture all surpass the comprehension of mortal men. And Spurgeon goes on to say, "No one will ever be able to hold the heavens in his hand or compass the firmament with a span. But even if he could do this, he would still find that the word of God in all its wondrous immensity was too vast for him to grasp." As we look at the creation in its splendor, in its vastness, in its greatness, we are to also think that God's word is as great or greater. God, who has revealed Himself to us, has said, "This is who I am. Please read me. That's God's word. What makes God's word so glorious is that phrase right there, that it is God's word. It is without error because God, who is its author, is truth. It remains forever because God, who is the author, is eternal. It is relevant to today because the Spirit makes it alive in our hearts. Because God is omniscient, He knows all things. The Bible is our authority because the author of the Bible is God. He gives us His word to direct us in the way which He desires us to go. He revealed to us who He is. He reveals to us who you are, and He reveals to us how we are to relate to Him. And if we can learn how to relate well with God, then we will relate well with each other. But we have to be in the Scriptures. You see, the psalmist loved the Lord so much, the psalmist loved God's word so much that he went on to write Psalm 119, 176 verses dedicated to Scripture. But unfortunately today we binge on movies and series for hours. We finish games overnight. We read through and review books we've been recommended or that draw our attention. We scroll down hundreds of tweets, images on Instagram, stories on WhatsApp or on Facebook. We work throughout the night and day to meet work deadlines and to finish assignments for varsity. We study all night for tests, and yet we can't spare a moment to read the letters of the God who saved our souls. And yet we can't spare a moment to read the letters of the one who has guaranteed to us eternal life. He has guaranteed to us an eternity of peace, an eternity of joy, an eternity of love in the presence of God. The question, once again, that I'm posing this evening is, are you still hungry for the words of God? Amen, brother. Do you still desire the sweet honey that is Scripture? Or has the Bible just become the rule book of do's and don'ts? Or a book full of inspirational quotes, or a religious activity that we do when we are burdened with guilt? You see, I loved receiving letters strictly because of the writer. I loved the girl. I loved her notes. I would read it twice a day and remind myself of the sweet words that were written in it. How much more Scripture? The writer is far more superior than any partner I'd ever meet. The writer, his love is far greater than the love that man can give. The writer, his value is greater than any responsibility on this earth or achievement on this earth. And yet he still falls far down the pecking order of priorities. There's always something that is of greater importance than spending time in His Word. There's always a logical and a sympathy-worthy reason why I couldn't spend time in God's Word. And tonight I want to be bold to say that maybe it's because God is not as precious or important to you anymore. I remember an article that I read a few years ago, I think it was 2016, and these are some of the reasons they gave as to why we don't read the Scriptures as faithfully anymore. They're also on the screen. The first reason they gave is it makes us uncomfortable. We don't like the fact that the Bible makes us uncomfortable before it comforts us. The Bible punches our pride. The Bible unsettles us. Our sinful hearts hate this. So they prefer a false sense of comfort rather than the comfort that comes from God. The Bible brings to surface the deep issues that we pray that man will never find out. The Bible brings to surface the real darkness that lies in our hearts. end, when we read the scriptures, these things are brought to surface and they make us uncomfortable. The scripture uses his word to bring these issues to the fore, that we would once again go to God and say, God, won't you help me deal with them? He goes on, the second thing is because we are undisciplined. We get caught up with the temporary and fleeting, and we neglect that which is steadfast and everlasting word of God. We create schedules, but we never fulfill them. We set reminders to read, but we always snooze them. How long till we say, Lord, there's a problem? Why am I not passionate to read your word? Number three, we think it's stale and lifeless. See, as Christians, we may not say this publicly, but there are some who drift away from the Bible because they believe it's an ancient, dead book which is not relevant for our times. The author of the article said, until we are conquered by the truth of the gospel, the Bible remains a book about a God instead of a book about our God. And the fourth thing he brings out is, because we have a dysfunctional relationship with God. How can a person say that they truly love God but throw his letter aside in favor for other stuff? How can they give it less attention than things that really don't matter? So I gave us four reasons, but we all know that the real reason essentially is sin. But essentially that's what it looks like. But I want us to look at the psalmist's response to the word of God. He says in verse 10 there, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and drippings of the honeycomb. The psalmist is saying here that the Bible is more precious than the most precious stone on this earth. He says the Bible is sweeter than the sweetest thing that has touched your palate. Is it still the same for us today? Commentator wrote, gold is only for the body and the concerns of time. But grace is for the soul and the concerns of eternity. Far beyond all pleasures and delights of sense, the word of God received by faith is sweet to the soul, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. The pleasures of sense are the delight of brutes or beasts, and therefore debase to the great soul of man. But the pleasures of faith are the delight of angels and exalt the soul. The pleasures of sense or intellect are deceitful, will soon abound and yet never satisfy. But those of faith are substantial and satisfying, and there is no danger of exceeding in them. As I come to a close this evening, I want to ask the question, what is keeping you tonight from God's word? What will you do different tonight to discipline yourself in the reading of Scripture? How will you come back and prioritize the task of being found in God's Word? See, tonight I didn't spend time to talk about how much value there is in Scripture. That's what I'll do next week. But tonight I just want us to recognize that these are the letters of our one true God, Creator of heaven and earth and Savior of our soul. And he has said, I have given you instructions for this life, that as you read and dwell in my word, you and I enjoy a sweet intimacy. Why is it that we do not want that? The question I essentially want to come down to is, do you still love its author? Psalm 119, verse 41 to 48. And I'll close with this. That's Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse 41 to verse 48. It says, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. O Lord, I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I shall walk in a wide place, and I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimony before kings, and shall be put to shame. For I find delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes, your salvation according to your promise. Let's pray. Lord God, this message this evening, Lord, is a challenge even to me. Lord, I don't stand here as one who thinks that I have it figured out. I don't stand here as one who seeks to claim that I spend enough time in the scriptures as I should. So Lord, this evening I stand here with your people, pleading, God, that you would remind us who you are. Remind us, Lord, of that love that we share with you in this holy marriage as your bride and you being our groom. Help us, Lord, to desire to know more about you. Help us, God, to desire to find ourselves paging in the scriptures, seeking that which you have revealed to us about yourself, seeking that which you have revealed to us about us. That God, we would seek you and relate to you in love, agape. And Lord, as we do this, we would seek to relate with each other with that same love. Lord Jesus, as we sit in this room, Lord, there's many of us who are most certainly busy. Lord, there are a lot of things in this life that are calling for our attention. But Father, help us recognize that the more we shelf your scriptures, the more we're speaking volumes about how much we value you. Help us, God, to once again prioritize our relationship with you. Help us once again to come back to our first love. So even as I've closed this sermon, I just want to give you a moment in your hearts. If you are feeling this evening that maybe you don't feel that you are loving the author. If you are sitting here this evening and maybe you're feeling that you haven't been spending enough time in God's word, please seek the Lord now. Pray to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to restore in your heart desire for his word. And when you close, ask him that when you read his word, may it once again be sweet. So I'll just give you some time to pray.